Good morning. Today's daf and kedushin is Samach. We are on Nun Tes Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. We are continuing. We just started the third perek of kedushin. We are continuing on the first Mishnah. So the first Mishnah spoke about kedushin that's done via shlichus and shlichus that's not done in good faith. So the first case of the Mishnah, wild case in the Mishnah. And that is that I go send a shlech to be Mekadesh a woman, and what he does is he divests himself of shlichus and he's taken by the woman and he marries her himself. So does the Kedushin work? The Kedushin works. In terms of acting in good faith, he's not acting in good faith. In fact, the Gemara quotes a Brice yesterday that described him as a Ramai. The next case in the Mishnah is that a man says he's going to be Mekadesh a woman, but only after 30 days. He puts a delay in the effect. Okay, this happens all the time throughout Shas. This idea that I'm going to do the Maisa now, but the effect is only going to occur at a later point in time. You could do that. You could put a delay in the effect, right? I keep coming back to this example. Obviously, it bothers me. In other words, what happens is that you deposit the money now, but the money's not actually going to show up in your account until later on, depending on the mood of the bank. Okay, it's good. It's all good. So anyway, so if over here you create a delay in the effect. You only want the kedushin for whatever reason, right? I'm not sure what exactly is motivating this person right now to have the effect take place only 30 days later, but that's what he wants. So the halacha shloshim yom. So in that case, what's the halacha? The halacha is that after 30 days the kedushin will take effect. However, that's not what the Mishnah was there to inform us. The Mishnah wants to know what happens if someone steps in anywhere within those 30 days and is Mekadesh her immediately. So who is she Mekadesh to? The second person. Okay, that's the point that the Mishnah wanted to share with us. On this statement of the Mishnah, this is now what we're going to be commenting on. We're on Nun Tes Amud Beis. It's a two-dot junction. Yeah, a little bit more than a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. So mikudesh l'sheni, so amarav mikudesh l'sheni l'olam. Okay, so Rav takes a position which is pretty much what I would have said. It's the quote unquote. It seems like the most reasonable position, and that is that the second person who went in there within those 30 days and was mekadesher, so her kedusha now with the second person is l'olam. Good. That's reasonable. Shmuel amar mikudesh l'sheni ashal shemiyam la'achar shoshiyam pake kedusha sheni v'gamar kedusha risha. Shmuel takes a position that's going to be really hard to defend, but let's at least say it out loud, and that is that according to Shmuel, what's going to happen is as follows. Her kedushin to the second person is a good kedushin, but that's only up until day 30. At day 30, what's going to happen is that the kedushin with the second person is going to dissolve, and the kedushin with the first person is going to take effect. Okay, good. If you're struggling to understand this, you're in a good place. So, yes, Rav Chisav HaKakash Shalei Kedusha Shin, but my pake. So, and not only you're in a good place, but you're with really good company. Rav Chista says, I don't understand. Meaning, if the Kedushin with the second person took effect, so then that's it. That's Kedushin. They're married. And what are you going to tell me now? That the marriage dissolves? How exactly does it dissolve? So, Amalei Rav Yosef, Ma'a Reisha Masnila, Kashile, Rav Yehuda, Seifa Masnila, Lo Kashile. So, Rav Yosef says, I see the confusion. I see exactly where the confusion is. So, you thought this machlokas and Rav and Shmuel is going on the case that we just described. You missed it. Meaning there is a machlokas about Rav and Shmuel, but not on the case that we just discussed, but rather on the subsequent case. Sorry. Struggled to get that out. It's out there now. Here we go. And now for a good chunk of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on this next case of the Mishnah. So the first thing we're going to do is that we're going to now correctly apply the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel into this case of the Mishnah. Let's set up the last case of the Mishnah one more time. We did it yesterday, but let's set it up because we're going to be spending most of today, a good part of today on it. Go back to the Mishnah. Remember that last case of the Mishnah? Me'achshav u'la'achar shloshim yom. So you go over to a woman and you start off the relationship on confusion. I'm going to marry you now, u'la'achar shloshim yom, and after 30 days. Well, which one is it? Okay, so the marriage did not get off on a great start. In other words, you gave her really confusing instructions of when the kedushin should take effect. And what did the Mishnah say? So me'achar u'la'achar shloshim yom. So ba'achar v'kisha b'soch shloshim yom, mekudeshes, v'enem mekudeshes. So it's confusing. And if somebody steps in those within those next 30 days and is Mekadosher within those next 30 days, so the Kedushin is maybe effective. Mekudeshes ve'enu mekudeshes. Because we don't know what the first husband meant by me'achshav ul'achar shoshim yom. Okay, good. So now it's that case in the Mishnah, and Rav Yosef says that's the machlokus on Rav and Shmuel. Let's see it all play out inside. Me'achshav ul'achar shoshim yom v'chulei ama Rav mekudeshes ve'enu mekudeshes la'olam. So Rav says this state of suffix is going to be a permanent state of suffix. Ushmul Amr Mikudesh Mikudeshes Vena Mikudeshes Ella Ashoshim Yom. And La Akhir Shoshim Pake Kedusha Shen Vegamer Kedusha Rishon. If the first one goes in with the Me'akhir Velachir Shoshim Yom, and then within those 30 days, the second man comes in as Mekadesher immediately. So according to Shmuel, here's what we're going to say. Up until day 30, she's going to be in some sort of suffix state. But after day 30 has come and gone, so now the Kedushin with the first one is going to take effect. Let's understand that even a bit better. L'rab misafke le'itanai have, chazara have. So the Gemara says beautifully. According to Rav, what's happening? What's happening is that we don't know. When you say me'akhshav v'lachar shoshim yom, so the way Rav understands it is, you could have meant one of two things. You could have meant, number one, that it's a tanai. Just simply setting forth a condition. In other words, it's as if you said, "Hare at mikudeshes li bit, with the tanai shelo echzer botoch shoshim yom." Right? I'm going to marry you, and it's going to take effect immediately. But just give me 30 days of just like making sure I'm confident with my decision. Now, just if I may, if I may, just 1 second. Perhaps this is not going to be the best way to introduce yourself to your partner in life. In other words, like, just give me 30 days to think about it some more. You know what I mean? I may retract within the next 30 days, but if I don't, then I'm confident with my decision. Okay, so I admit this may not be advisable, but put that aside right now because obviously we are just going over how to interpret and understand the Mishnah. So that's one possibility according to Rav. That's what you meant. What I meant is that I want the Kedushin to take effect immediately, but give me 30 days to think about it, and give me 30 days of where I may bow out. And if after 30 days comes and goes and I haven't bowed out, now that's it. It's a tanai.
Bow out without a get.
Bow out meaning that, yeah, I'm retracting my Kedushin. Huh. And then the other No. In other words, because you made it. It's like any time you make a tanai, if you don't fulfill the tanai, lemafreya goes away. So one possibility is that's a tanai. The other possibility is ichazara havai. The other possibility is that no. What happened is the following. I said me'achshav. You know what? Cancel that order. La'achar shloshim yom. I didn't mean me'achshav, or I meant it, but now I just simply take it back. Chazara, a recanting, a retraction. And now L'achar Shoshim Yom is now a formally new statement, which is, I want the Kedushin to take effect and only take effect after 30 days. Huh. So according to Rav now, that's the issue in the Mishnah. We don't know whether it was a Tanai or whether it was a Chazara. Obviously, if it's Tanai, it's Lemafreya. If it's Chazara, it's not Lemafreya. Good. That's Rav's understanding of the Mishnah. Shmuel, Pshita Leid Tanai Have. And according to Shmuel, Pashut that it's a Tanai. Meaning Shmuel does not have a suffix of what the husband meant. According to Shmuel, what the husband meant was definitely a tanai. And therefore, it's going to go back retroactively. Pashut. Good. But Pilta Dani Tanai Detanya, and the Gemara now points out, you just saw this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. It goes back. It's really a machlokas tanayim. Me'ayom malachar misa, get ve'en oged, divrei chachamim. And here we go. In other words, now we're not in the beginning of a relationship, but we're at the end of the relationship. So, and the man says to his wife, "Mehayom ula achar misa, this get is going to be effective now and after I die. Ain get la achar misa." It's like one of the most basic rules that we learn back in Gittin. So, it's important to know what you meant. So, according to the Chachamim, get ve'no get. So, it's a suffix get, suffix erishin. And Rabbi Omer Kazeh get, and Rabbi is of the position that such a get would be a valid get. And now, in terms of the machlokas, so presumably that's exactly what's going on over here. Meaning that according to the Chachamim, what happened? What happened is we don't know. Might have been a Tanai, might have been a Chazara. If it was a Tanai, it goes back retroactively. If it's a Chazara, so now what you're doing is you're issuing a get, but you only want the get to be effective after you die, and ain't get lachamisa. That's why according to the Chachamim, is a get good? Don't know. Meanwhile, according to Rebbe Kazeget, why? Because Rebbe understands that it's definitely a Tanai. Definitely a Tanai. So the Gemara says, V'neima Rav Alacha K'Rabbanim, V'neima Shmuel Alacha K'Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so now this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is really a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe. So the Gemara says, so if all Rav and Shmuel are doing, which is not a small deal, but if all they're doing is just simply bringing the machlokas down to the next generations, so why don't they just simply give credit and attribution? In other words, why doesn't Rav just simply say, we side with the Chachamim? Why doesn't Shmuel just simply say, we side with Rebbe? So it's Richa. So the Gemara says, I'll explain to you why that didn't happen. Yeah. Rebbe wants us to know, let me do that again correctly. Rav wants us to know that if all he said was the halachas like the Chachamim, I might have limited the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rebbe to the arena of Gerushin. Why? Because Gerushin is l'rechukei kaase, because that's there to create distance. But obviously, Kedushin is the beginning of a relationship. And maybe you really want to get married to this woman. In other words, you did propose, so maybe you really want to get married to her. And maybe on the side of Kedushin, there is not going to be a debate. And maybe by Kedushin, it's definitely understood to be a Tanai. Remember, Tanai goes back Lamafreya. And it's Lekruve. And it's to create the relationship. So maybe you want the relationship to begin effective immediately. You said Lacher Shoshim Yom. Okay. In other words, you wanted a 30-day window of you wanted a 30-day return policy. But in the event that the 30 days comes and goes, and now you were happy, so you're going to go back retroactively. I might have thought that. And if all Shmuel said was Allah is like Rebbe, again, I could have made a distinction between Gerushin and Kedushin. In the case of Gerushin, ain get la'achamisa. So therefore, there's only one way to interpret it, and that is Tanai. But over here, Kedushin la'achar shloshim, can you be Mekadesh after 30 days? The answer, of course, is yes. So Eimam Modil Elarav. So now, really could be that even though in the case of Gerushin, the correct interpretation is Tanai, but over here, really, we could open ourselves up to two interpretations, Tanai or Chazara. So Tzricha, that's why Rav and Shmuel, even though they're really reiterating, they're restating the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, but they want us to know, not only is it going to be a machlokas by Gerushin, it's also going to be a machlokas by Kedushin as well. Okay, so I know already that's a lot, right? It's a lot to process. So let's just quickly recap. You say, me'achshav u'la'achar shoshim yom. Now that's confusing. What did that mean? So according to Rav, we don't know. Meaning it could be Tanai, it could be Chazara. And according to Shmuel, we do know. It's a Tanai. So we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, how to interpret the statement of me'achshav u'la'achar shoshim yom. Good. Amar Abayi. Ulatami de Rav ba'achar v'amar lo harayin mekadeshos me'achshav u'la'achar shoshim yom ba'achar v'amar lo harayin mekadeshos me'achshav u'la'achar shoshim yom. We are on the top of Samach Amud Aleph. Uva acher v'amar la hariat mekadeshos me'achshav u'la'achar asara yamim. So, mirisha me'achron tzricha get me'imtzai, eino tzricha get. Okay. I know this is going to be confusing. I know I'm going to say this way too quickly. So, I'll put it out there. And then, what you could do is you could just simply rewind the last minute and hear it again. Number one says, I'm going to be mekadesh you now in 30 days. Second man comes in and says now in 20 days. The third man says now in 10 days. Okay? So each one of them now has put in their order of Kiddushin. So now, Baye says, if I subscribe to Rav, what's going to be the conclusion of such a situation? A get is going to be required, but only from man number one or man number three. Sorry, not or. Man number one and man number three. Man number two does not need to give Gerushin. And why? Manav shach. Because consider, Eat and I have a dekama kiddushe and hanaklav kiddushe. V'chazara have a debasra kiddushe hanaklav kiddushe. Because look, according to Rav, it's either Tanai or Chazara. If it's Tanai, what happens? It goes back retroactively. Well, who was the first one in line? Man number one. If it's Chazara, it does not go back retroactively. So if it does not go back retroactively, so who married her first? Man number three. Because his kedushin is going to be effective only 10 days later. So therefore, in order to extricate herself from this situation, right, what a wild situation, but if for her to extricate herself, she will need a get from man number one and number three. Man number two does not need to issue a get. Pshita, okay? Unintentional humor of the Gemara, that's obvious. I don't know how obvious that is. But anyway, but the Gemara now wants to know, yes, once you really understand Rav, and once you plug it into that scenario, yes, that's the equation, that's the formula, that's the conclusion that you're going to arrive at. The Gemara says, I don't know, ma'u detema, ha'ilisha mashma tanayu mashma chazar, v'ti ba'gita mikol chavechad. So kamash malan. The Gemara says, you know what? It's not as obvious as we originally presented, because here's what I could have proposed. I could have proposed that every time you say ma'achshav v'la'achshav shoshim yom, we can litigate, what did you mean? Meaning, it's not an objective question of tanai chazara, and we're asking across the board. We can ask in every single scenario. Every one of those three men who issued a kiddushin, expressing ma'achshav v'la'achshav shoshim yom, could be understood as, I don't know what he meant. And if it's now a question within every issuing of that kiddushin, so now, I don't know. In other words, it could very well be that man number one meant me'achshav. Could be that man number two meant la'achar shoshim yom. We could guess now on each one individually. What Abai is telling us is that according to Rav, when I say it's a suffix, meaning whichever side of the suffix you're going to go on, they're all going to follow that side. Whatever, so if it's understood as the Tanai, they're all saying it in the context of Tanai. If you're understanding it as Chazara, they're all saying it in the context of Chazara. That's what Abai is telling us within Rav. It's not a suffix on each person. It's a suffix across the board. Good.
How about if the fourth man came and said,
oh, please.
I know.
Let's just. There's already a lot out there. Let's just keep it with what we have. Baruch Hashem. That's already a lot. Ulamar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so me'achshav v'la'achshav shoshim yom. What's on the table right now? We have two understandings of what it could be. According to Rav, suffik. Could be a Tanai, could be a Chazara. We don't know. According to Shmuel, definitely a Tanai. And now, a third option. And that is Ula. Ula Amar Rav Yochanan Afilu Meya Tov Simba V'chein Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Afilu Meya Tov Simba. Okay. Definitely one of the more difficult parts of today's daf. And that is, according to Ula's presentation of Rav Yochanan, when a man says to a woman, Me'achshav v'la'achshav shoshim yom, so what's going to happen now is that he is going to be Mekadesher. A second person also does it. He'll be Mekadesher. A third, a fourth, 100 people. Those 100 people are going to be Mekadesher. She will be married. This is going to be one of the stranger things I'm going to be saying in the entire Masechta. I don't want to over-dramatize, but I think it's true. Okay. And that is that 100 men now are going to be married to her. Now, it's by far and away one of the more confusing and exciting things that we could say here in this Masechta. Phil's gone through this Masechta more than once. So in other words, as a tenet, as a given, in other words, one of the most basic things is that one man can be married to one woman, two men cannot be married to one woman. And over here, I'll have Tfisas Kedushin with the formula of Me'achshav v'la'achshav shoshim yom, I'll have Tfisas Kedushin with 100 men to one woman. Okay? I'll pause just for a moment because it is rather incredible that we're even suggesting it. But we're not just suggesting it. According to Ula, Rav Yochanan is saying it. In other words, that is how to interpret it. Now, if I can... We just wait. Let's give me just another moment. And now, if this position is not difficult enough to understand, so maybe a mashal will help. Now, I say maybe. Okay? The mashal is as follows: Shavanav sheki shraga delivna. You know when you're laying bricks. Now in this room, probably none of us have been laying bricks. So I'm making assumptions, but you know when you lay bricks. So what you do is that you lay down a brick, but you have to leave room for another brick as you're going now and constructing. Good. So over here, Chol Chad V'Chad Ravcha L'Chavrei Shavak. Every one of them leaves room for their friend. Okay. Was that helpful? Was that mashal helpful? Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. I'm going to try to present it in the way that it's classically presented. Okay. Baruch Hashem, I've learned this before. I've heard shir on this before. So let's suggest the following in terms of how to understand Rav Yochanan. By the way, the Rambam paskens like Rav Yochanan. So definitely, even if the Rambam didn't paskin like Rav Yochanan, it's a mitzvah to understand Rav Yochanan. Basically, it's like this. When you're Mekadosh a woman, you're Mekadosh the entire woman, right? It's kind of like a given. In fact, earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos makes this point over here, right here on this daf. Earlier in the Masechta, we said you cannot be Mekadosh Chatzi Isha. You can't. How in the world can Rav Yochanan arrive at a conclusion that 100 men now have a tefisas kedushin with this woman? It's mind-boggling. Okay. What we'll suggest is the following, just as I don't want to say simple. There is no simple understanding of Rav Yochanan. But as an approach to understand Rav Yochanan, here's what I'll say. Here's what we will say. And again, I'm repeating what I've heard. And that is that when I'm Mekadosh Me'ashe V'Lacha Shoshim Yom, what I'm basically saying is as follows. It's almost like I'm putting down a down payment, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay off the rest in installments for the next 30 days. Obviously, I'm giving my own mashal. So you say, Me'achsha v'lacha shoshim yom. The process starts now, and the rest of the kedushin will fill in over the next 30 days. Okay? Now, what that means is as follows, is that when you are Mekadosh, you're using the formula of Me'achsha v'lacha shoshim yom. So now, from a down payment standpoint, you're in. You have a percentage of her. And obviously, over the next 30 days, the rest is going to be filled in. But in other words, but they're not filled in yet. So when the second man comes in and says, Me'achshav v'lacha shoshim yom, he's also putting a down payment down, if you will. And now the third and the fourth and the fifth up to the number 100. Okay, the number over here is just an example. So the Rav Yochanan will tell you that is how each one of them can have a tefisas kedushin in this woman.
Okay. Has anybody done erusin?
We are doing erusin right now. 100 men are doing erusin with her. Okay. It's really, I have to admit, if my explanation was helpful, great. If not, it's back to the drawing board. It is a really hard shita to understand. Masav Rav Chanina, so me'amalach remisa geve no get, imeis choletzes v'lo misya bemes. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go back to what we learned earlier. Well, we did learn this earlier, but we learned it earlier as a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Here we're learning a mission together. Me'amalach remisa, man issues a get to his wife and he says the get's going to be effective now and after I die. Again, a confusing language. So what's the result? Result is geve no get. In other words, it's a suffe get, and if the man dies subsequently, and he died without any children, chalitz is to be done, but not yibum. Okay. So now, the Gemara says, right, keep, we're focusing right now on the first part, we'll get back to the chalitz in just a moment. Now, bisham alarav misayele, now according to Rav, perfect. Because Rav says, what happens when you say, ma'achshav al-achar? I know here we're talking about get, but we already established earlier this morning the machlokis would be true by get, it would be true by kedushin. So according to Rav, perfect. Because what did Rav say? That when you formulate me'achshav la'achar, what we are now left to wonder is, what did you mean? Did you mean tzenar? Did you mean chazara? So over here in this mission, when it says get ve'no get, that's exactly what Rav would say. Perfect. And Shmuel nami hamani rabbanin ivana damri karebi. And as far as Shmuel's concerned, look, I think it's a Tanai. You quoted me a Mishnah? Yeah, we've already established that's a Machlokas Tanayim. The Mishnah that you just cited is going like the Chachamim, and I hold like Rabbi. Good. However, Ela Rav Yochanan Damer Shiyuri Have Kol Gita De Mishayir Ba V'lo Klum Hu. But according to Rav Yochanan, what happens? Shiur. Rav Yochanan introduced us to this idea that basically what happens with the correct interpretation of me'achshav u'la'achar is that me'achshav, a down payment now, and la'achar, shoshim yom, simply means is that we'll pay the rest in installments up until day 30. Again, I'm using the word payment over here as a mashal. Some now, some later. Shiura. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, although you can understand it in the world of Kiddushin, there is no way that you can understand it in the world of Gerushin. In other words, a Gerushin is an all or nothing deal. It is a full severance or it's not a full severance. There is no such thing as a partial get. So kol get the misharba velo klumi. So now, if that's true, the get is nothing. So now, according to Rav Yochanan, what should be the conclusion? If the get is a zero, so what is she now? And we're talking about a case where her husband died. She's a widow. Period. Hard stop. According to Rav Yochanan. So if she's a widow, what's the halacha? The halacha is that yibum is demanded. So yibume miyabin. That's exactly the Gemara's question for Rav Yochanan. So amar Rava get lohosi misa lohosi. So masha shayir get. So Gemara to misa. So Rava, in an attempt to defend Rav Yochanan, will say, here, let's present it like this. Well, look, what's the get going to do? Create severance between husband and wife. What does death do? It also creates severance. So maybe what you can argue in defense of Rav Yochanan is that the get started the process and death finished the process. So amalei abayi midami. So get motzi mirishus yavam. Misa machnisa lirishus yavam. No. It's not a good defense of Rav Yochanan. Because don't look at it from the perspective of the husband. Look at it from the perspective of the yavam. What's get going to do from the perspective of the yavam? Create distance. What's death going to do from the perspective of the yavam? Create closeness. In other words, death and divorce from the perspective of the yavam are going in two opposite directions. And as a result of that, you can't just simply say, well, one is just finishing what the other started. Because from the yavam's perspective, they're going in two opposite directions. So, El Amar Abaya, how sometime am I? So what we would like to do is we'd like to defend Rav Yochanan. Right? It's a mitzvah to understand Rav Yochanan. It's a mitzvah to defend Rav Yochanan. Abai is defending Rav Yochanan. Again, according to Rav Yochanan, Me'achshav v'lachar misa is to be interpreted as partial. Partial. Well, in the Kiddushin case, I understand. But in the death case, in the Gerushin case, I don't understand. If it's partial, partial by Gerushin is zero. So then she's a widow. She's not a divorcee. Why would the Braisa tell us, Chalitza b'no yibum? So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav Yochanan, Abayi says the following. So how sometime am I gzera mishum yom im masi? Because mehayom ula achar misa sounds unbelievably similar to mehayom im masi. They sound very similar to one another. And in such a case, I raise a get, that would in fact be a good get. Because mehayom im masi is definitely retroactive. Definitely retroactive. So because of the confusion of mehayom imasi to the expression of mehayom ula achar misa, right, very subtle differences between the two, even though fundamentally, from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, they are totally different. Mehayom ula achar misa is zero. Mehayom imasi is a real get, is a bona fide get. But because they're so close in nature, so the Chachamim made a gzera. So the Gemara says, v'nigzer mehayom imasi detachlots. So atu mehayom ula achar misa. So the Gemara says, well, if the expressions are so similar to one another, and we're making a gzera of mehayom ula achar misa atu mehayom imasi, so why don't we go in the other direction as well? So imatar mar choletzes mizyam emes. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. In the case of mehayom imasi, so as a result of the gzera, so of chalitza, so yibum will occur. Hachinami, imata omer choletzes mizyam emes. So the Gemara says, well, in the case of mehayom ula achar misa, if we institute chalitza, that will result in yibum. So tisya ben vein bekach klom chshasha derabanan hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the case of meyom al achar misa, so what's your concern? You made a gzera, we shouldn't do yibum. Therefore, you're limited only to chalitza. What's the problem? Chalitza may lead to yibum. Now, if I can take a moment. I know we've done this before, but let's take a moment. Chalitza leads to yibum. What do you do chalitza, you can't do yibum. When I make a statement like chalitza leads to yibum, it means that if in this predicament we instituted chalitza, then in the next case that looks awfully similar, or even if not even awfully similar, but in the next case which is the same, the Rav is going to say, well, I was at a previous scenario that was like this, and we did chalitza. You know what? Over here, let's do yibum. It just means the next case, the next time this happens, instead of chalitza, the Rav will say yibum. So the Gemara says tisyab in vein b'kaf chluch shasha the rabbanu. Yeah, but in the case of mayom al achar misa, let's say the ruling was chalitza, which is the correct ruling. And then the Rav was there, and the next time the Rav has a case, he'll say, oh, yibum. Meaning, what's the difference? And the Gemara says, and even if he does that, it's not a big deal. Ein b'kach klum. It's a chshasha de Rabbanan. Remember, according to Rav Yochanan, when you say me'achshav v'lachar misa, so that's a partial get. According to Rav Yochanan, according to everybody, what is a partial get? Zero. So what is she really? A widow. So as a widow, she's eligible for yibum. Again, we'll limit it, we'll cap it at chalitza, simply because this case looks similar to the case of mehayom im masi. But the truth of the matter is she really is a 100% bona fide widow, and she really is eligible for yibum. It's just that the chachamim capped it at chalitza. But if it leads to yibum, ein b'kach klum. That's not a big deal. Okay, adkan. All right, I have to admit, really difficult. That was a difficult sugya. Yeah. Let's just take a moment. Yeah, take a moment, breathe, and let's just go back. What we just did now for the first part of today's daf, for almost a full half an hour, is that in the case of me'achshav ula achar shloshim yom, that was the language of the Mishnah. So, what the Mishnah, when the man issues a kedushin in that manner, how is that to be interpreted? We have now not one, not two, but three different approaches amongst the Amoraim. In terms of how to interpret it. Let's go one by one. This is just going to be a really simple summary of everything we just did. According to Rav, me'achshav u'l'achar shloshim yom is a possibility of either being a retraction, a chazara. Let me go in correct order. Either it's a tanai. In other words, I'm just simply making a condition. But once the condition is fulfilled, so then we're going to go back retroactive to the original point. What's the condition? Let me think about it for 30 days. Allow me, please, a return policy of 30 days if I'm not happy. Okay. That's one possibility. According to Rav, the other possibility is that's chazara. No, it's retraction. Meaning, I said mehayom, but then immediately retracted with la'achar shloshim yom. And really what I want to do is I want a delay to go into the Kedushin where it only takes effect 30 days from now. So according to Rav, we don't know what he meant. And therefore, we have to consider that maybe it's me'achshav, or maybe it's la'achar shloshim yom. That's Rav. According to Shmuel, it's definitely a tanai. It's definitely a condition. And therefore, it goes retroactively. That's why Shmuel says that in the case of our Mishnah, when you say me'achshav la'achar shloshim yom, and when then somebody comes in those next 30 days as mekadesher, and then the 30 days come and go, and you are fine. So according to Shmuel, what's going to happen now is that it's going to retroactively go back to the original point, and the Kedushin with the first man is going to kick in. Obviously, the Kedushin with the second man no longer takes effect. Good. That's according to Shmuel. And finally, according to Rav Yochanan, he has the biggest Chiddush, and that is that Me'achshav Alachar Shoshim Yom, partial Kedushin. The way I described it, it's like down payment, and you're paying off the balance over the next 30 days. So it's partial Kedushin. And in the case of partial Kedushin, you're partially married to her with the rest to be filled in the next 30 days. Rav Yochanan says, based on this idea of partial, here's what could happen. You can go in, a second man can go in, up to 100 men can go in and be Mekadosh to her. Okay. A rather remarkable statement to Rav Yochanan. He said it. Okay. That is the three opinions. And what we did over the course of this morning, the first half of today's daf, is that we just basically litigated which of these positions fit in better to Mishnayos and Braisos. And the Gemara did spend just a moment trying to wrap its head around the Shita of Rav Yochanan.
Okay. But during those 30 days, the second man can live with a woman, obviously. No?
You're asking within Rav, Shmuel, or Rav Yochanan? In other words, we just have according to Shmuel. So according to Shmuel, it's a tanai.
With Rav Yochanan, it's not practical.
Right. The second man, the goddess of whom, you could never live with a woman.
All right, we're going to go on. I appreciate it. In other words, there's so much to think about over here. Okay. But I want to finish the daf. Okay, so we're going to finish it. We'll finish it off. Well, you can ask me after. How Omer Lisha Hari Hamikdash Shosli Amanash Sheeten Lacham Asayim Zuz Arizem Mikdash Shosvu Yitain. Okay, so now here we are in Daf Samech in Kiddushin, second mission of the third parak. Simple examples of Tanai. Okay, this is going to be a lot easier. I'm going to make Mikdash you, but on the condition that I give you 200 Zuz. Okay, she needs a little financial incentive to just sweeten the deal. So you give her the financial incentive, and you stipulate and condition and put a rider on the condition. The condition will take effect, but when I give you 200. Vuhu yitain, and you give her 200. Now, hopefully you're wondering to yourself, when exactly does the condition take effect? When you pay or retroactive? I'm laying the foundation, the seeds for the Gemara. Not only do you sweeten and incentivize with a condition that you're going to give her 200 zuz, but you give her a window. I'm going to give it to you within 30 days. So now that you stipulated that, so you only have 30 days now to fulfill your condition. Okay, if you put into the condition that I'm worth 200 zuz, the condition is good, provided, of course, that he's worth 200 zuz. Now, if he says, I'm going to make mikdash you on the condition that I can show you 200 zuz, so now, as long as he can show her 200 zuz, the condition's good. The Mishnah then goes on quickly to relate, well, what if he takes her to the bank and say, you want to see 200 zuz? Here, look over there. Ask the teller to hold up 200 zuz. Could you just hold up 200 zuz? Teller holds up 200 zuz. There, you see it? Now we're married. Good. The Gemara is going to discuss this last point of the Mishnah, but not today. Itmar. No, I'm sorry. No, I take it back. Today. Itmar. Rav Huna Amar Vuhu Yitain. Rav Yehuda Amar Lichish Yitain. And here we go. Simple debate. And that is that in the Mishnah, first case of the Mishnah, I'm going to marry you, but only on condition I have 200 zuz. Sorry. Only on condition that I give you 200 zuz. So the condition's valid when he gives her 200 zuz. Now, I said it, but now let's litigate. I'm going to do the Gemara again. Itmar Rav Huna Amar Vihu Yitain. So according to Rav Huna, he's going to give her the 200 zuz. But that's just a fulfillment of the condition. And the condition will take effect when? Retroactive. And Rav Yehuda Amar Lichish Yitain. In other words, and according to Rav Yehuda, when does the condition take effect? When and only when he gives her the 200 zuz. Rav Huna Amar Vehu Yitain Tanai Hava Mekayim Tanai Vaza. Rav Yehuda Amar Lichish Yitain Lichi Yav Hava Kedushin Hashem Yalav Hava Kedushin. And the Gemara just simply points out that what they are really arguing about is fundamentally how to understand his stipulation. Is a stipulation just a condition that needs to be fulfilled, but once fulfilled, we're going to go back retroactively? That is the opinion of Rav Huna, and Rav Yehuda will tell you, no, that what he's stipulating is that the condition will take effect, and it will only take effect when I give you 200 zuz. My beinah ikam beinah apashta yada v'kibla kedushin me'achir. So the Rav Huna, lo have a kedushin. The Rav Yehuda, have a kedushin. And then the obvious nafkamina, and that is that she accepts a kedushin from another man between the first man's proposal and the first man's fulfillment of the condition. If it's to be understood that it's retroactive, obviously she's not married to the second man. If we're understanding that it's not retroactive, then she is married to the second man. Nice and easy. I know I read all that quickly, but basically, what did we just learn together? You know, you saw the machlokas by kedushin, same machlokas by gerushin. Rav Huna Amar v'hititain tanai have mekayim tanai v'azla. Rav Yehuda Amar lechishititain lechiyavi lehuda have get hashemi alo have get. So the same thing regarding a get, that a condition of financial conditions attached to the get. The get's going to be valid when I give you 200. So Rav Yehuda's understanding, sorry, let me go in the correct order. Rav Huna's understanding is that when he gives her 200, it retroactively validates the get. And according to Rav Yehuda, when he gives her 200, then and only then the get kicks in. So my beinayu ike beinayu, shiniskari agedu sha'avan. And the Gemara says, and nafka mina would be, what happens between the issuing of the get and the fulfillment of the condition? And let's say the get is either torn or destroyed. Lirav Huna have a get, Lirav Yehuda lo have a get. Now, according to Rav Huna, the get's going to be a good get because it goes back retroactive to the time of issuing. And according to Rav Yehuda, the get is not going to be a valid get. Good. So now you know what's going to happen next. This is classic. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are arguing, both in the case of Kiddushin and in the case of Gerushin. Why do they need both? Tzricha, I need both. So over there, I need Rav Huna, that the Kiddushin is going to be Chal immediately. Why? Because again, Kiddushin is there for Kiruv, to create closeness. In other words, you're starting a relationship. You want this relationship to start effective immediately. However, but by Gershon, I might have thought that, look, in other words, he doesn't really want to divorce her. He wants to divorce her. He doesn't want to divorce her. So, but in other words, but he's torn. And so what he's doing now is he's attaching a condition, but maybe it's not just a condition retroactive. Maybe what he's basically saying to himself is that I only want to get to be effective when and only when I give the money. Almost like incentivizing himself not to divorce her. That's how you could have seen it that way. And we could also argue that if the machlokas was only said in our sugya, so I would have said that by gerushin, so in other words, according to Rav Huna, the gerushin is effective immediately. Why? Because he's not going to be embarrassed to ask her. I just made a small mistake. It's correctable. In other words, in the case of Gerushin, the Gerushin will take effect only when she gives them the 200 zuz. Okay, sorry. All right, I misrepresented the case of Gerushin. Anyway, it was a small mistake. Correctable. I just corrected it. Anyway, so over there in the case of Gerushin, so who's demanding money from whom? He's demanding from her. He's not going to be shy. Avahacha de'ik sifal alamitba emam modele l'Rav Yehuda. But over here, in other words, I'm being mikadosh you, but only when I give you 200 zuz. She's going to ask him for the money? Okay. In other words, right, lately women are slightly more emboldened than they were in the days gone by. But over here, the woman's going to demand the money from the man? So the Gemara says, therefore it's necessary. In other words, so I need both cases. All right, meisvei. The Gemara says, okay, let's challenge. Okay, the Gemara now is going to be challenging the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Remember that according to Rav Yehuda, so the effect of the Kiddushin, the effect of Gerushin only takes place when and only when the money is transferred. It's not retroactive according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, so even if the get is destroyed between the issuing of the get and the payment of the money, so the get is going to be a valid get. In other words, it goes back retroactively. Oh, so this brisa has just taught us it goes back retroactively. This brisa is clearly in favor of Rav Huna. This brisa is going to be very difficult for Rav Yehuda, but we're not done. So in this brisa, the get is going to be on condition that you give me 200 zuz, and then the man dies. So ein zikuka. I'm sorry. Even though she's giving the money, and she's giving the money after he died, so there's no need for yibum. If she doesn't give the money, there's going to be a need for yibum. In other words, but over here in this brisa, what do we see clearly? She's paying the money after he dies, and it's going to activate the get. Obviously, it's retroactive. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, no sense to achiv ola aviv ola echem and a krovim. Now, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the condition can be fulfilled even if she pays one of the relatives. Now, I can't plead gelad the marzavar leva lo liyarshai marzavar afilu liyarshai dekul amemia tanai have to yufta de Rav Yehuda. So, over here, the only debate in this brisa is whether or not his condition included relatives and Yershim. But everyone's of the position that it goes back retroactively. And again, this clearly is a nod to Rav Huna. It's more than just a nod. It fully endorses the position of Rav Huna. and it seems to obliterate the position of Rav Yehuda. So Amalecha Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda will say in his defense. So how many Rebbe he? Am Rav Huna. Am Rebbe Kol Amr. Am Nas Kol Amr Me'achshav Dame. Upligi Rabbanan Aleha V'Ana Da Amrei K'Rabbanan. Okay. So in defense of Rav Yehuda, what I'll say is the following. This brisa that we just learned is really subscribing to the Shita of Rebbe. What is the Shita of Rebbe? So we've heard this already a number of times in Seder Nashim. When you say Amanas, it's like you're saying Me'achshav. Amanas and Me'achshav are synonymous terms. Therefore, when you said Amanas, you're going to go back retroactively. But that's only if I subscribe to Rebbe that Amanas and Me'achshav are, in fact, synonymous terms. If, on the other hand, you subscribe to the Chachamim, Chachamim do not believe they're synonymous terms, and therefore, it's not retroactive. And Rav Yehuda will say, I follow the Shita of the Chachamim. All the braises you just quoted me are in line with Rebbe. Okay. Gufa. Yeah, let's do a little bit more. Gufa. Am Rav Huna, Am Rebbe Kol HaOmer, Amanas, Komer Me'achshav Dami, Am Rebbe Zerik, Yavidim Bebava Hava Aminan, Had Am Rav Huna, Am Rebbe Kol HaOmer, Amanas, Komer Me'achshav Dami, Pligi Rabbanan Aleha. Okay, so we're going to go back to this position of Rebbe Amanas and Me'achshav are synonymous terms. And we're going to go to a comment that was made by Rebbe Zera. Remember Rebbe Zera, an ardent Zionist. Rebbe Zera decided that he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He took counsel with his Rebbeim, right? It's a funny story, but the Gemara tells it. the Gemara's in Ksufos? Anyway, sorry. So his Rebbeim told him not to go to Eretz Yisrael, and despite that, he went to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And he made Aliyah. He learned in the yeshivas in Bavel, he learned in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So when I was in Bavel, here's what I thought. I thought this position of Rebbe was a controversial position, meaning the Chachamim argued with Rebbe. Kislik alahasam. When I went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rebbe Asi Diasav Kamerlei Mishvei de Rav Yochanan Akol Modim Amar Amanashe Keomer Me'achshav Dami V'lo Nechliku Ela Mehayom Alachar Misa. Then what happened was is that I went to the yeshivas of Rav Yochanan. I was listening to Shir by Rav Yochanan's Talmud Rav Asi, and Rav Asi said B'shem Rav Yochanan. This Shita of Rebbe is not just Shita's Rebbe, Kulei Alma. Everyone agrees. Amanas and Me'achshav are in fact synonymous terms, and nobody disputes that point. Vehatanya. Normally Vehatanya is a challenge. Over here it's the Siyua. It's a support. Me'ayom alachar misa get ve'no get. Divrei chachamim Rebbe Omer kazeh get. So Ula Rebbe Yehuda. Kazeget. And in this brisa, why is this brisa supportive of Rav Yochanan? Because in this case, and only in this case, do we say that Amanas is either going to be retroactive or it's not going to be retroactive. But specific and exclusive only to that case. Meaning, in any other scenario of Amanas, Amanas is similar to Me'achshav. Ula Rav Yehuda, Damar Amanas, Nami Pligi. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, Amanas, he didn't see it like Rebbe Zera. According to Rav Yehuda, Amanas is a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So, Adam, Ifilgi Me'ayom Alachem, he said, Ifilgi Be'amanas. I don't understand. Why are the Chachamim and Rebbe arguing about Me'ayom Alachem, he said? Why do they argue about Amanas? So, Lo Diachoch, the Rebbe, De Me'ayom Alachem, he said, Nami Arizaget. It wanted to flex Rebbe's position. Ma'ayom alachar misa is in fact a get. So v'niflag ba'amanas, lo diach kochel de rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we debate about amanas, and why don't we flex the position of the chachamim? Koach de tera adif. Because koach de tera adif, Rebbe's position is just simply a stronger position, and it's a kula. And if we could show off any position, we'd much rather show off a kula than we would rather a chumrah. Rashi in the beginning of Beitza. This one I do remember clearly. It's Daf Gimel. So Rashi in the beginning of Beitza, when going over why Koch de Tera Adif, Rashi says, look, who could be Machmer? Anybody could be Machmer. Machmer just could mean that you really believe that the halacha is that you should be Machmer. Or alternatively, you don't know and you're going to err on the side of caution. Good. But if you're saying a more lenient position, It means you're absolutely confident and definitive that that is the correct position. Koach dehetera adir. That's why over here, the machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim, rather than have the debate about amanas, we're going to go mehayom al achamisa, and we're going to show off that even in such a case, according to Rebbe, the get is in fact a valid get. So let's do one more for today. Okay, and then I'm going to... Okay, let's just do one more station. Mikan. So now we're in the next case of the Mishnah, where not only did you stipulate that you're going to marry her, but only on the condition that you give her money, but you give a window of and a deadline of when you're going to give that money, 30 days. So Pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, if I didn't have that case in the Mishnah, would we have figured it out? Sure. Why would the Mishnah need to give us that case? So the Gemara says, well, maybe what he just simply wanted to do was, he wanted to incentivize himself. He wanted motivation. So what he did is that he put in an artificial deadline, but it's not a real deadline. I just put it in there so that, you know, I give myself a little kick in the pants. But I didn't really mean that as a hard deadline. That's the Havamin. The Maskan is no. It's actually to be understood as a hard deadline. Okay, I know I have a little bit more to go until the next Mishnah. I'm going to put it on hold. All right, tomorrow we'll finish up. Okay. Such an interesting daf today, but I admit, challenging daf. In terms of mehayom al achar shloshim yom, how to understand that, three interpretations, Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. And the next sequence of the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, is that I'm going to give you kiddushim, but only on the condition I give you 200 zuz. The condition is valid when he gives her the 200 zuz, but is it retroactive? Or is only when he gives the 200 zuz? A machlok is between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna says retroactive. Rav Yehuda says no, only when the 200 zuz is given. And then lots of braisa supporting Rav Huna against Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara defends Rav Yehuda.